Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
My faith is a big part of who Herman Cain is.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise.
I think it's outrageous that they will not support him because he is a Mormon.
Why didn't Christ return on October 21? It seems embarrassing for family radio, but God was in charge of everything.
What confessional Lutheranism has is that clear teaching of Christ alone, solus Christus, Christ for us.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
There are men who make contributions in history, and their contributions are significant but narrow. In the case of a man like C.F.W. Walther, the contributions are significant and rather broad. If you list the things that C.F.W. Walther, this Lutheran theologian from 150 years ago in the United States during a pioneer age, was doing, it's really rather impressive. And at the same time, he was a pastor. He was a president of a seminary, president of a fledgling church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as it would come to be known. He was also pastor of four congregations simultaneously and preached. He preached. In fact, his great hero in the faith, Martin Luther, considered himself a preacher above all else, and so did C.F.W. Walther. So we're going to take about a half hour here on Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, the 14th of November, to talk about Walther and preaching with Pastor Joel Baisley. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Monday. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us. We're going to be talking about God providing manna and water and quail food and everything that we need to support this body and life for us and for the Old Testament people of God. In the second hour of the program, part one of a big review that we're doing with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Joel Osteen has a new book, Every Day a Friday. This is about his third or fourth bestseller that he's put out. And of course, Joel's are always bestsellers. What does it mean that every day is a Friday? He's hopeful. He's optimistic. He says you can find God's favor. He has a formula for it, and he lays it out in his latest book. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us to do a review of Joel Osteen's book, at least to start a review of Joel Osteen's book, Every Day a Friday. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Joel Baisley is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He's translated several of the writings of C.F.W. Walther, first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Joel, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Todd. Good to hear your voice.
You say that one of the most remarkable and one of the most important things that Walther did as a preacher of the gospel, and he was his entire pastoral career, was that he simply stuck to the text, even when preaching on a special festival of the church. He didn't let the festival get in the way of the text. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's sort of two aspects that are looked at there. Number one is the tradition of the church, which specifies certain festival days in the freedom of the church, and that's a good thing. And Walther and Luther both thought that those festivals were good and things that shouldn't be changed in the church. However, sometimes some things in tradition take on a life of their own. And there's a tendency, perhaps, on feast days to let the feast steer the text rather than preaching the text. And certainly more important than any traditions, even good traditions in the church, is the text. And so one of the things that we really admire about both Luther and Walther is that they would not let the festival steer the text, but would preach the text and sometimes even sort of put aside the main theme of the festival in order to get the main meaning of the text. And I think that's good, again, to show respect for both of those things, but the higher respect for the text of Scripture.
Sometimes with these famous preachers of old, you come to find out, like with John Edwards' Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that when he actually delivered it, it was delivered in kind of a flat monotone, but somehow it was a compelling sermon nonetheless. What was it like to sit and listen to C.F.W. Walther preach in his day?
Well, Todd, I'm not quite that old. I couldn't tell you firsthand, but one of the works that I translated was a collection of his sermons called Festklänge, which was a collection of his festival sermons. And in the preface to that, the committee that put that together about seven years after he died, was to acclaim the beautiful style of Walther's preaching, that not only did he respect the text and get the message of the text through, but he did it in such an artful and well-organized and eloquent way that even those who were not members of the church and perhaps were not members of any of the churches would come merely to hear his beautiful style of preaching. And, of course, that's not the most important thing, but it was a good thing to bring unbelievers into the sphere of the Word of God so that Word, eloquently preached by Walther and well preached by Walther, could reach their hearts and God could do his wonderful work of salvation on them.
Did he, like Luther, consider himself first and foremost a preacher?
Yes, I think the proclamation of the text was the most important task that he had, that it be preached to the joy and edifying both of God's people and to those who had not yet heard of the marvelous news of salvation in Jesus Christ. So, primarily, vocationally, yes, as a preacher, but maybe more than that, a learner and a hearer of God's Word. You can't preach what you haven't inwardly digested. And so I think preaching, yes, but I think both Walther and Luther would see themselves first and foremost as students and learners from Christ before they would preach it.
Talk about, if you would, the art of preaching. I mean, Walther wrote quite a bit, especially in his book, The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel, to young would-be preachers. And he spoke not only about the distinction between law and gospel, but the preaching task in general. How did he understand the art of preaching?
Well, he understood it under the rubrics of law and gospel, that the purpose of the preacher was both to frighten the hearer as to his state before God under the law, that he, as a sinner, had every reason to fear before God and to fear in terror of the punishments that God was threatening against the law. But then, first and foremost, once that hearer was frightened by the thunderclaps of the law, the sweetness of the gospel. And so, like I said in the foreword here, it talks about him wanting to portray the heart of God being open to the sinner and the doors of heaven being wide open to the sinner, so that though he were a sinner, for Christ's sake, he knew that God had an open heart and an open heaven for him through the mercies of Jesus. And so the task of the preaching was to throw the thunderclaps of the law, but then also to show the sinner heaven open to him so that he could step into that grace through faith and receive the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ.
How, just in a historical sense, how did that differ from other popular preaching of Walther's day?
Well, I think that he lived in sort of the same milieu as we live in, and so many of the, for instance, the more holiness sects like the Methodistic preachers, and he would often talk about the Methodist preachers because they enjoyed some degree of success, would certainly bring the terrors of the law before the sinner. But then they would throw them within themselves to search and struggle within themselves to find the answer, rather than to find the answer outside themselves in Jesus Christ and the means of grace that God had appointed for the church. And so much of the preaching in his day was good at showing the thunderclaps of the law, but wasn't good at showing where God had placed that grace and Jesus and his forgiveness in the means of grace and in the actual preaching of the law. And so he often talks about the Methodist preachers as preaching more, telling the people the conditions that they had to meet in order to feel the assurance of grace, rather than giving them that assurance of grace in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
With about a minute, is that the foil against which that famous work of Law and Gospel is written to a great degree?
Yes, the confusion of the Law and Gospel, the confusion of looking for comfort within my own abilities and with my own resources rather than outside of myself in the Gospel, that's where all theology becomes confused and where sinners who need the comfort of God's grace in the Gospel become confused and unsure where they should be sure in Jesus Christ.
With about a minute before we take our break, let's get started into an example that you've brought forward of his festival preaching, in particular the Feast of Trinity. What was remarkable to you about this sermon preached by C.F.W. Walther? With about a minute before we take a break, we'll pick up on the other side.
Well, two things I thought especially remarkable. First of all, the standard text for Trinity is the one that we still use today from John 3 and Nicodemus. And, of course, the Feast of the Trinity should be used to extol to the people the mysterious nature of God as being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and as Holy Trinity. But he said, in our day, there's such a misunderstanding about the main point of this text and being born again or regenerated, coming to faith, that I'm going to spend my time with you this morning talking about the second birth. That's the first surprising thing. The second surprising thing is he says we're going to put off the real subject for today's feast, the Trinity, until this afternoon, which means instead of going to watch the baseball game that afternoon, all the people were coming back to church to have another sermon and service for the Holy Trinity.
Very different world than the one we live in today. Pastor Joel Baisley is our guest. We're talking about preaching and C.F.W. Walther on this Monday afternoon, the 14th of November. When we come back, how did he take apart that famous encounter in John 3 between Jesus and Nicodemus? How did he explain what Jesus is talking about when he describes new birth? Stay tuned.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. Issuesetc.org. Stay connected. Issuesetc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Joel Baisley is our guest. We're talking about C.F.W. Walther, first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and confessional Lutheran theologian of the mid-19th century here in America, and preaching. Joel, let's go into some detail here. You said one of the things, and this is illustrative of how we started our conversation, it was the Feast of the Trinity. Any preacher worth his salt was going to be preaching about the doctrine of the Trinity to some degree. And Walther, at least in this sermon, says, before we can talk about that, we need to talk about this new birth stuff because there's such great misunderstanding about what new birth is. Again, is he going from kind of what was already at work in the American religious landscape, that rebirth was just maybe my decision for Christ, or the moment that I was proved anxious enough to become a Christian?
Yes, I think it was very much in the context of early 19th century and mid 19th century preaching, as far as the Methodistic ideas, and it's not altogether apart from the Feast of Trinity also, because he's going to talk a lot about the benefit of baptismal rebirth, which obviously is a Trinitarian application, the application of God's grace and his name onto a person. So it's not altogether apart from the extolling that God is Trinity, but he's saying here it's important that we not only know this, but know that it is God himself and his name that is the power that brings about this new birth through the sacrament of baptism. So what he's most concerned about is not some what might be thought of as an esoteric knowledge about God as Trinity, but how that applies to the individual and how that makes them a new person and actually reunites them with God from whom they were parted because of sin and the curse of sin.
One of the things that people will note if they're just reading these sermons is that Walther's, he is, I guess you could call him an organized preacher. He introduces, he reads the text, and then he says, and this is how I'm going to deal with it. No surprises with Walther whatsoever. Very little of what we have in today's preaching, that kind of off-the-cuff spontaneity.
Yeah, yes, it's such a gift that he has that it's all... I want to say this in the right way. It's almost a curse for us modern preachers and us preachers who are trying to follow him, because it's he's so good at it, and God has gifted him with such organizational skills that I think most of us sort of find ourselves scratching our heads and saying, I wish God would give me the gift the way he has to Walther. He's just marvelous when it comes to organization and breaking that text into parts that make such good sense to us.
When he treats these words, you must be born anew or you must be born again, what does he, in without a doubt, have to talk about? You mentioned it just a moment ago, baptism. Why is that so important for Walther to preach about?
Well, again, because there was so much decision theology and a confusion of law and gospel in which this command or this requirement of God that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born again of water and the Spirit becomes a very frustrating, if we look at it as a command, we say, well, how do I do that? How can I bring that about? And so the word would either be skirted and said, well, that can't be true because I don't know how to do it, or what he wants to show the people, it's a marvelous gift that we, according to our first birth, are completely lost. And just as a baby does nothing but endure being born, it's God who, on his own, must do something to us in order to make us born again from above. And so what may sound to some people as a terrible, horrible requirement that I have no way of doing breaks way to something beautiful, because God does what I cannot do. I can't make myself another person and have a new start and have a new heritage, but God does that for me through Christ and through his water of baptism.
He is, I think, closer to preaching biblical repentance than many preachers come today. I'm just going to quote from him and ask you to comment on it, where he says, yes, if we are not born again, someday he, that is God, Christ himself, will close the gates of heaven to us. Oh, therefore, let none among us depend on his good works, or only depend on his innate respectability and righteousness, his blameless life, his heart being so good-natured, upon his historical faith, upon his literal knowledge of Scripture, upon his dead, lifeless, heartless, cold works, Christianity, On the last day, all these things will be consumed as stubble in fire. No one will enter into heaven, no heavenly glory, but those who have been born anew through the Holy Ghost. What are your thoughts there?
He sort of takes away any shelter that you might seek in your own innate abilities, even good ones like being able to memorize Scripture or know facts about Scripture, or to renovate our life to stop our bad habits like drinking and smoking or whatever we would want to name, or terrible things like adulterous things. It's not our ability to improve, but it's God's gift to make us something different. And so he's really taking away every fortress, every religious piety and shelter that we might find for ourselves. Well, you know, I memorized so much Scripture. Well, no, but you're not born again. You're not a new man. You haven't been made new by God.
And for Walther, that was baptism. That wasn't just, I feel born again, or I had an experience of being born again. That was baptism?
That is baptism, the application of God's promised grace in baptism that does it because God promises it despite how we feel. And that's another big difference that Walther points out between Methodism. In Methodism, you struggle until you feel peace, and then you better not be struggling anymore because then you don't have the peace. In biblical theology, in Lutheran theology, the struggle begins when you are born again. Then you struggle against your flesh. You struggle against all your self-righteousness. The struggle is after you come to faith, not before.
It sounds so different when I'm reading those words where he is putting the emphasis, at least in terms of preaching the law, on that word unless. That is something just completely missing nowadays from a lot of preaching. The prospect of hell is very seldom even mentioned. It's just kind of open gates of heaven, do your best to enter. And even the best preachers, even ones who understand law and gospel, often leave out the prospect that the gate, as he puts it, the gate of heaven may be closed to us.
Modern man has no sense of justice. I ask the kids in grade school when I'm with them in chapel or in the confirmation class, you know, if a teacher finds that you've done something wrong and he punishes you, is that a good thing? And they all shake their heads no. They look at justice as being wrong, and modern man looks at God as being wrong if he threatens to punish sin instead of being just. And Walther had, you know, no Walther and under biblical theology had no problem saying God is just and right to damn sinners. We deserve it. It is what we should have under his justice. Today, I think people are really afraid to say that.
If you can't say that with about 30 seconds, you can't say that. Can you give the good news in any credible sense?
Well, again, the good news that you would give after that becomes watered down with all the rest of the good news. I know that I heard this on your program a number of years ago, and it just stuck in my mind where someone says, "Oh, God loves you. Oh, of course he loves me. I love me, too. He's just showing good sense." And we're living in a very funny time, Todd.
Pastor Basely, we've talked a lot, and we continue to talk about Walther and his works and his writings in particular. How can lay people and pastors together benefit from these works that you've been translating from C.F.W. Walther?
Well, it gives us, as you've been pointing out, the difference in our times and the fears that preachers have these days. I consider that there were still things against preaching back in Walther's day, but there was an openness and an honestness and a boldness of preaching that said, I don't really care if you don't agree with it. This is God's word. And this is how God has, these are the means that God has used to save you. So out of love, I will tell you the truth, even if some of that truth is painful. And modern preaching thinks that the soothing lie is better for a person than the stinging truth. But it's only the stinging truth that brings a person to a state where he wants the balm and the healing, the gentle love that we have in that one place where it's exhibited to us in Jesus and his cross. And Walther would do anything to get the person to that point, to get them, you know, bloody on the road from the law and damned to hell, because it's at the bottom of hell, And that's where Christ is on his cross, at the bottom of God's punishment. It's at the bottom of the hell that people find God's door to heaven, Jesus Christ, and nowhere else. He's at the bottom. You go down to find him, or he comes down to find us, I should say.
Pastor Joel Basley is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He has translated several writings of C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You'll find links to these great Walther resources at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Mark 5 Publications. Joel, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much, Todd. Good to be with you.
When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen is going to be our guest on this Monday afternoon, the 14th of November, teaching a Sunday school lesson with her, as we do every week. We're going to be talking about God's provision of the basic necessities of life for his people wandering in the wilderness. They were hungry, and God sent them bread from heaven. Now, this account cannot be read apart from its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, Moses gave you bread and you died. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. We'll talk about both of those things with Deaconess Pam Nielsen right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
It turns out promiscuous sex can do more than break your heart. It could actually break your heart. Let me explain. Human papillomavirus, or HPV, is a sexually transmitted disease. It's the leading cause of cervical cancer in women. New research says HPV is linked to an increased risk of heart attack, including cardiovascular disease and stroke. Researchers at the University of Texas found a potential connection with women who carry the cancer-causing strains of HPV. It's believed the disease deactivates specific genes, which makes women more susceptible. Their findings were published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. Science is discovering STDs have unexpected long-term effects. It's another reason to practice abstinence until marriage.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.